Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during today's conference, please press star and then zero on your telephone keypad. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I'd now like to hand over to the Chairperson, Arne Frank, CEO. Please begin your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Hello, everybody, and very welcome to the AAK Q3 report conf call. I'm sitting here in a foggy Malmö together with our CFO, Anders Byström. What we would like to propose to you is an agenda starting with walking you through our third quarter and the numbers that we are quite happy and proud to present. Going into some business area-specific information, touching base briefly on the progress on the important AAK Acceleration Program, comment a few other items, and then all this would most likely take us, say, 20-30 minutes, and that means we have plenty of time by the end for Q&A, if you so wish. I, by that, jump to page three, and we're happy to announce a third quarter with a net sales of nearly 4.5 billion Swedish krona, up from 3.8 billion. Behind this is definitively, to a large portion, of course, the higher raw material prices, but it's also including a better product mix. It is absorbing currency headwind of 246 million, and it's also including an increase, an important increase of volume of 5%. And if we then have a quote, quote, like-for-like number, which I believe you're all interested in, excluding the Golden Food, Golden Brand acquisition, but also excluding the U.K. retooling business, retooling the U.K. to our specialty, semi-specialty strategy. In fact, we are proud to announce a 2.5% increase in volumes like-for-like, with a very good increase in volumes in CCF, and with some like-for-like, quote, quote, like-for-like increase of volume in FI. Operating profit amounted to 246 million, which means up 6%, but at constant FX rates, in fact, up 13%. And the only small cloud on an otherwise relatively sunny sky is that earnings per share is down with 7%. But I believe all professional readers have understood that this is basically only theoretical. However, some media this morning did not understand that, so we're a little bit disappointed on ourselves that we have used this little bit old-fashioned accounting principle, where, as a public company, we could also have applied hedge accounting, and then you would have seen an earnings per share of roughly 4.05 SEK per share, which means up quite significantly. I believe in the future, we will switch to hedge accounting, and this took us by surprise a little bit, as we have now roughly 20% of our net debt of 3.6 billion, covered by interest swaps over the next 5 years. And the purpose was, of course, to reduce our sensitivity to future interest rate fluctuation, and instead, we achieved the opposite. But this is the first time we have this big change on this subject. So again, I believe all professional readers have understood this is pure theoretical, but unfortunately, at least one important local media did not. So all in all, a good quarter, and I believe with the 246, we are again for the sixth quarter marginally ahead of the consensus, which we believe is a good achievement. Switching to page four, FI, the locomotive behind this success, operating profit 143 million, up from 124, which is +15%, or absorbing some currency headwind, up 22% at constant FX. And it is again our specialty and semi-specialty strategy behind. We have, and driven by our health claims, no trans fat and particularly low saturated fats, succeeded to gain market share and maybe also address new potential market, both in the bakery segment and in the dairy fat alternative segment. And the baby food segment has also had a very strong quarter. We say here in the material that the business area had a favorable product mix and generally also very high yields in the plant. I believe this is Mr. Byström's way of telling you that this is a good quarter, but please be careful increasing your future estimates. And I think that's a comment from myself also. As we have said many times, some things always go a little bit better than planned, and a few things go a little bit less good than planned. We have that this quarter. You already know our TPF business have been difficult. But we would like both Mr. Byström and myself to urge you to not overreact on the positives and not overreact on the negatives either. And again, in FI, up 3%, mainly driven by the U.S. acquisition, taking that out, but also taking out the U.K. challenge. We are in small volume growth here, which is positive. Switching to page five, CCF also doing very nicely, also +22% at constant FX and +15% as reported, 112 million. And I think that's a mathematical error, by the way. It's not exactly 15%, it's marginally below that. We have achieved stability here, and we have a good volume growth. Here is a comment about slightly unfavorable product and customer mix, which you should probably read as some relatively good margin, but not the best margin business products have been growing faster than some other products. To anticipate we have a technical problem here. We apologize for a technical problem here. So this was unanticipated. I was on CCF, and the profit up from 102 to 112 and absorbing negative FX of 8. A question that I was coming to here to anticipate that question is the cocoa butter prices that is at an all-time low. I want to say already here that so far we have been able to manage that, as you can see in the numbers. Technical products and feed, a real issue in this quarter. Profit down from 29 million to 15 million, and the reasons are secondarily the maintenance stop in Karlshamn that every 4 years is longer than the normal, and this year it went into mid-July. But the most important reason is very high raw material prices on some of the raw material we use, driven by subsidies for being environmental friendly raw material, and now going also into subsidized biodiesel business. So a double whammy on subsidies, driving that raw material price up radically. I already this morning had a question for how long will this last. The answer was, we do not know, and we do not expect the TPF business to be radically neither better nor worse in the next few quarters. And as you all know, this is a small part of the total AAK business. So to summarize, a very, very good quarter for the big locomotive FI, and our speciality strategy, semi-speciality strategy, and AAK acceleration is paying off very nicely and really working. Behind these numbers is also, of course, as you understand, a good and speedily integration of Golden Food, Golden Brand, and this acquisition. I will come back to that later. A good quarter from CCF, and having stabilized and now growing this business, and a difficult quarter for TPF. That's the first early summary. With this, I pass over the microphone to Mr. Byström.
Thank you, Arno. On page 6, if we start to look at the volume, we now see an improvement here. You recall the 5% improvements versus last year. And I think also I'd like to remind you what Arne said before on the, if we exclude the acquisition and also the situation in the UK and are looking at the underlying business, we have a volume increase of about 2.5%. The diagram showing operating profit is continuing to improve. We have a significant seasonal improvement from the second quarter as normal. And we had a strong third quarter here, and the rolling 12 months are also improving. The final diagram on page 6 is the operating profit per kilogram. Here we have an improvement for the total group of 2%. And, of course, in the food ingredients, we have a significant improvement of 12%. And Arne before commented about the fact that we had several things like the product mix and yield, etc., which were very strong in the particular quarter, while we have some other challenges in the CCF area. But all in all, we continue to show increased operating profit per kilogram. If we turn to page 7, we have the RONA diagram, and now we are suffering from the effect of the high raw material prices during the last 9 months. And that is the main reason why the entirely the reason why the curve is now looking downwards. We believe that we have basically now reversed all the negative impact from the raw material price increases and should start to see positive effect going into especially 2012, possibly even into the fourth quarter. The final diagram there is net debt divided by EBITDA. That is at 2.9. It is restated for the impact of the acquisition. And, of course, the actual number here reflects the payment of the acquisition as such. And that is why the net debt has increased from 3.4 during the second quarter to 3.6 during the third quarter. And if we exclude the acquisition, we actually had a positive reduction in net debt.
Thank you, Anders. Page 8, food ingredients. I think as already mentioned, our strategy is working. In AAK acceleration, we have a very strong focus on dairy fat alternatives, on bakery, on infant nutrition, and on food service. And at the Capital Markets Day, very soon, in fact, we will, just like we did last year, go into the details a little bit more, as some of those subsegments are bigger than the TPF business and not so far away from the CCF business in size, in fact. and the focus, increasing the technical sales force, increasing the customer co-development resources around the globe, in the U.S., in Mexico, in South America, in Eastern Europe, in China, in Southeast Asia, is paying off. And this business is up at constant FX 22% or 15% as reported. And volumes are like for like, adjusted for the acquisition and adjusted for the UK retooling of that strategy in small but positive volume growth numbers. We had here, though, when you look upon the numbers, a somehow favorable mix, and we had slightly better yields in our factories than we can long-term plan for. Page 9, Golden Food, Golden Brand. And I think this is hopefully the last time I say Golden Food, Golden Brand, because the name of this organization is, in fact, since more than 1 month, AAK Louisville. So AAK Louisville is now fully integrated in AAK, fully, and this integration is very well received by both customers and employees. An integration is fully on track, or maybe even marginally ahead of the plan. Operating profit per kilo, we said already back in early July or end of June, is from 2012, totally in line with the equivalent FI bakery business in AAK. And we have also announced what volumes we are talking about. And we have also announced that the synergies will come here over 2012 and 2013, and to a smaller degree, maybe a little bit more in 2014, but mainly in 2012 and 2013. And then if we switch to page 10, a page we are particularly proud of, if we look upon the operating profit and the rolling 12, and we should again remember Q4 2009 was a perfect storm of non-recurring items. And if we look upon the evolution here, it's a nice and stable evolution. Also in terms of EBIT per kilo, and I believe it was when we had this call after Q2, the question was, we started at 0.3 SEK per kilo, we went to 0.4, 0.5, 0.6, and we are now sniffing on 0.7. Rolling 12, we are just ahead of 0.6 still. What's the long-term target here? We are, as always, not announcing any targets in that sense, but of course, we're heading for 0.7 now, and we are confident we will reach 0.7 at some point of time, when a little bit more difficult to predict, and then we take it from there. And again, as Mr. Bystrom has indicated, a very good quarter, but please be a little bit prudent with re-estimating your estimates and taking them further up, because this was a little bit a few items here really went our way this quarter. Page 11, CCF, and here we have the correct number at this slide. At fixed exchange rates, operating profit was up 18%, not 22%. I apologize again, as was said at the previous page. More important here, most likely, is that volume was up 13%. So this is definitively a little bit a success for our strategy, where we intensively now during nearly 2 years have focused on selling, and you heard us talk about this many times, selling the total CCF catalog, focusing at being a solution provider and going to the chocolate and confectionery fats customers with the total portfolio of oils and fats that you need in chocolate manufacturing. These have maybe led to a slightly unfavorable product and customer mix, but nevertheless a good success. And the low cocoa butter prices we have so far been able to manage and handle. Page 12, you can here see that in terms of rolling 12 operating profit, we have turned the previously difficult trends around. And in terms of operating profit per kilo, despite the unfavorable mix, a small increase. Page 13, the headache, I think it has already been commented. Fortunately, it's a relatively small portion of all of AAK. The lubricant, the vegetable lubricant business, Binol, had an acceptable quarter. The feed business had an acceptable quarter, but the technical fatty acids was challenged a lot by one critical raw material seeing record high price levels. That's the main reason behind the challenging TPF business. With those points, I pass the microphone back to Mr. Bystrom.
Thank you, Arne. On page 14, I'd like to recap the positive cash flow from operating activities, including changes in working capital, 189 versus minus 95. We still have a negative in the third quarter, a negative impact of working capital, but we have now largely reversed all the negative cash flow impact from the dramatic price increases, primarily during the last 6 months, 2010. And if we turn to page 15, you can see the boxes that we're usually commenting about, and we can now, I think, say that the major part of the five red negative boxes we now have behind us, and we should look forward to see some positive impacts from the green ones that will definitely affect 2012, potentially also the fourth quarter.
Thank you, Anders. Not one meeting here without commenting on the AAK Acceleration Program, because that's so fundamental and core to drive AAK in the direction AAK and AAK shareholders deserve, leveraging all our strengths, addressing all our opportunities, and addressing also our weaknesses. And we will at the Capital Market Days, let me do some promotion for those again. Stockholm next Tuesday next week, Copenhagen Thursday next week. We will give you a flavor how this is going, how we're handling this. But rest assured, here is a very systematic approach. And this is like an institutionalized, in the words, positive sense, backbone to everything we do, and I believe we can see the results coming here very strongly. Organic growth in bakery, dairy, CCF and infant nutrition. The productivity programs are progressing as planned, and we will come back to this a little bit at the Capital Market Days next week. Final slide before the Q&A. Progress both on organic growth in terms of volume, organic growth in terms of net margin, speciality and semi-speciality strategy, particularly in infant nutrition, dairy fat alternatives, bakery and CCF. Productivity improving. AAK Louisville fully integrated in AAK US, and we will also have Jean-Marc Rotzer, our president, AAK US, come to us in Stockholm and Copenhagen next week to talk about this. And the integration maybe even slightly ahead of plan, and very, very important, very well perceived by both customers and employees. So that is good. Final remark, we say that, of course, this industry is, as all other industries and companies, of course, not insensitive to the general economy. And the general economy in Europe and its effects on AAK is difficult to predict. We can, however, say that if things do not develop worse than they are today, then we are very optimistic that this will have only marginal effect on AAK. We saw in 2010 dramatic food price inflation. That inflation is just like Anders showed in the working capital pictures, at least 50% reversed. That's good for us. We have very, very limited business in Greece, Italy, Portugal, Spain, and the other Mediterranean countries, a very limited part of the AAK business. And our value propositions with our health claims, no transfer, significantly, dramatically reduced saturated fats and reduced costs, and our AAK acceleration program, we are optimistic that we can grow our business, and we can grow our business not only with the growth of the market, but we can also win some market share and develop some new markets. So all that together, our comment is, as always, we remain prudently optimistic for the future. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And now we have the technical challenge to try to unmute and take some Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while participants register for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Patrick Zetterberg. Please go ahead with your question announcing your company name.
Yes, hello. Patrick Zetterberg from Nordea Markets. A couple of questions. The first one is relating to the volume growth in the CCF division. Could you give some flavor in terms of geographical split?
Hello, Patrick. Yes, I believe we can. We have been doing in CCF geographically very well in the U.S. We have been doing well in Mexico, where you know we are quite big in CCF. South America is very important for CCF, and here we have been doing well. We have been doing well in continental Western Europe. We have been doing okay in Central and Eastern Europe, Russia included. And we have been doing well in some other markets where our intensified sales and marketing activities have led us to start to address a few markets where we previously were relatively inactive.
Okay, thank you. And then I just want to touch the negative mix effect you have been experiencing in the CCF division. Is this a temporary effect, or is there a change in your strategy which should make us expect that we will see somewhat weaker EBIT per kilo going forward?
EBIT per kilo was not weaker, but it didn't increase so much even when volume increased. So I had a similar question earlier this morning when we were to comment on the market consensus and the 2012-2013 numbers, and we can keep it already to Q4 2011. We believe CCF will develop nicely, and we believe that CCF will continue to develop nicely also on growth. Will we see a quick shift in EBIT per kilo upwards? I don't believe so. We are now seeing a more stable situation. We are now pushing a solution provider approach, and very difficult to predict, and we're not giving any forecasts, but if I was an analyst, I would more extrapolate the kind of things you saw in Q3 this year.
Okay, that was clear. Just the last question relating to the CCF division. Could you give a status on the overcapacity situation you have been experienced within the CB segment?
Yeah, same as we have now said several quarters. We go back to the value chain. We look upon the total value chain from the sheep tree in the sub-Saharan territory in Western Africa to the shelf of the retailer anywhere in the world. And in that value chain, there is an overcapacity of fractionation, which is one of the process steps. All other steps in that value chain have not changed. And we still believe that technical sales force, customer co-development, customer proximity, customer co-development, and customer solution capability is the most important part in that value chain to be successful. And in that step, there is not an overcapacity. Not painting everything perfectly in gold, I would say that realistically speaking, I would then say the low cocoa butter price is more of a challenge. We don't believe that to stay long term. We believe that is more temporary. What does temporary mean? Nobody can say. So far, we have been living with this for 3 to 6 months, and so far, we have been able to manage it. Yeah, that will be my comments on CCF. We are optimistic for CCF for Q4 and 2012, but the change of focus from CCF only to a combination of FI and CCF with a small overweight on FI, I believe, is the wise way to look upon AAK. And on the FI, we are very optimistic for continued success.
Okay, thank you. I will go back in the line again. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Good questions.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. Our next question comes from the line of Daniel Schmidt. Please go ahead with your question, announcing your company name.
Yes, hello. This is Daniel Schmidt from SEB in Skövde. Just starting off a question when it comes to cost savings and the cost-saving program. Can you give us any details of how much cost savings you realized in Q4, what we should expect for Q3, what we should expect for Q4, and what we should expect for 2012 net? Start with that one.
Hello, Daniel. Good and relevant questions. What can I say? You would be surprised, I know that, if we answered specifically and exactly on your question. But let's try to give you as much answer as we can. Execution of those programs are spot on plan. And I believe we always said 100 million run rate end of 2010, and we did that, and another 200 million run rate end of 2011. That's the Scandinavian program. Then we said that a small part of that we used to reinvest in technical sales force in growth markets and customer co-development people, most likely even more important, also in growth markets. We have done that. You know, we have increased in U.S., Mexico, South America, Central and Eastern Europe, Germany even, Russia to some degree, Southeast Asia to some degree, and we have opened up a subsidiary in China where we had an official inauguration 2 weeks ago. But of course, they have been working since March or April on this.
Could you say anything when it comes to, do you want to accelerate these reinvestments, or are they the same level as you were expecting 6 months ago?
We have maybe increased it marginally compared to what we talked about six months ago. To give you more flavor, we have, you will see, I hope we meet at the Capital Market Day where we go into the different programs. We have now recruited a very strong, very professional purchasing manager. So you will see us accelerate also on purchasing, which is also part of productivity. The headcount reductions in Aarhus and Karlshamn are on plan. And then we introduced an additional program in the UK, which is also on plan. And then I believe our entire organization is today much better mentally prepared for the fact that productivity is a never-ending process, which is a big, important evolutionary step for AAK. So we will deliver on the productivity programs, but we do also want to invest as much as we can in organic growth.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say, given what you also added on the UK in Q2, would it be fair to say that half of the net cost savings will be this year and a half next year? Is it an even split, you think? Or is it more tilted towards 2012 still?
I think we should stick to what we have said previously. But when we say a run rate end of the year, it's, of course, a run rate the last week of December. And then how much have we reinvested? We have reinvested not insignificantly, but we want to keep that to ourselves for competition reasons. But the main part of the accumulated 300 has been into the is or will be into the profit of the company.
Okay. Another question then on what you touched upon when it comes to the cocoa butter price, which is down maybe 40% since the start of the year. What can you do? And you said that it is something you, of course, are thinking about constantly, I guess, when it comes to the annual contract agreements period coming up towards the end of this year. How big of a challenge is that, and what can you do to mitigate that problem or that dilemma when it comes to your pricing of CB into 2012?
We have to drive our cost reduction programs as aggressively as ever and never stop. Once the famous 100 plus 200 is delivered, we will continue. And drive productivity continuously. We do see space for more productivity than what we have announced, but in the future we will not announce the programs with exact numbers 3 years prior to going into them. But rest assured, we will continue to drive productivity. First bullet point. Second bullet point, technical sales and customer co-development. Third bullet point, and we have it on page 22 in the attachments. We have the cocoa butter price development. Third bullet point, we do not expect this historically low price level, which is now just below the 2001 price level, which was a very low price level, by the way. We do not expect this to be very long term. And I believe all our large customers know this. The price level you have here, fourth bullet point, is the spot price level. The future, if you want to buy a long, do a long-term cocoa butter price, the futures are more expensive than this, which is one indication. And then fifth bullet point, there is other advantages with CBE than pure price for certain applications. May it be certain coatings, may it be certain characteristics of the final chocolate, or may it be melting point temperatures. However, in all fairness, this low cocoa butter price makes it even more difficult to come back to historical net margins on CBE. However, we believe we can do very nicely by maintaining and developing from today's level. And when I look upon your estimates, none of you have historical net margins on CBE in your models. And if you have, then you're underestimating something else dramatically. So I don't know if I answered your question, Daniel, maybe partly at least.
Yeah. No, but absolutely. But would it be, given that you're basically insinuating that prices most likely will come up if you look at forward-looking prices and given the fact that we're down to 10-year lows and all that, if that would not happen, would that be too difficult to offset, given what you talked about in terms of other characteristics being important and technical support and all that going into next year? And also your productivity, of course.
Yeah. It's a little bit a hypothetical question. Of course, there are certain levels where you will quickly find a dramatical upside to your estimates, and there is another level where it would be a theoretical downside to your estimates.
Okay. And then a final question in terms of what you talked about with food ingredients being the perfect quarter and all that. You usually you still have a quite good Q4 normally in food ingredients. And when you say do not extrapolate what happened in Q3, how should we interpret that and model that when it comes to short-term Q4?
Burnt child, fear the fire, we say in Swenglish. I believe we have marginally exceeded the market consensus now for 6 quarters. And basically, every time we meet consensus or marginally beat consensus, most analysts write up their estimates. With no new information on the table, some analysts write up the estimates. It's just a strong signal to again repeat that always in business, an AAK is as a business large enough to definitively be representative, and that is that there is always a few things that go a little bit better than planned, and there is always a few things that go a little bit less good. This quarter you see our TPF business as an example of the latter, and I believe you to summing the to some extent see our FI business as an example of the first. That doesn't mean that we are hereby announcing a forecast for year-end that is equivalent to the current market consensus, because we never give forecasts. But it's just a head-up. We don't see the reason to reassess things when there is not any real new information on the table.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. Our next question comes from the line of Billy Dar. Please go ahead for your question, announcing your company name.
Billy, where are you?
Do you hear me?
Now we hear you.
Okay. Hi. I have two questions. One nitty-gritty question on CapEx. Could you tell us what the underlying CapEx was, excluding the acquisition?
Well, we have decided we will not release, you know, the precise amount. So I just repeat what we normally say, and that is that normal investment should be in line with annual depreciation. That's the kind of guidance we do give.
Okay.
Over an economy cycle.
All right.
Correct.
And then when I look at your chart showing the return on net operating assets, it's clearly picked up since late 2009. Could you tell us anything about your view on this? Do you think that this is the level that we should expect over the coming years, or is there any additional drivers that we still haven't detected yet?
I can try to answer under Anders' responsibility, but if we all go to page 7, I believe we at the Capital Markets Day last year said that the non-speciality players in the veg oil or veg oils and fats industry, the pure big commodity players, they would typically see a RONA of 6 to 12%, 8 to 10 maybe, and speciality, semi-speciality players would typically see a RONA of 10 to 15%. I believe we have talked about before. And I believe we also talked about that we have no target on this. But of course, once the high raw material prices from last year are totally flushed out of our system and maybe some other improvements, we expect a RONA that is significantly higher than today's level.
Okay, I think that answers my question. Thanks.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. We have a follow-up question from the line of Patrick Zetterberg. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello, Patrick Zetterberg from Nordea again. I just wanted to touch upon this volume growth you had in food ingredients. If I understood or if I heard you correct on, you said if we strip out the effect from UK and Golden Foods and Golden Brands, you had a small volume growth in the third quarter. Is this the beginning of a trend? Is this the result of the acceleration program we have seen? All the investments you have been doing for this?
Too early to say, because that trend is the sum and consolidation of two trends. One is the growth of semi-speciality and speciality in bakery, dairy, infant, and food service. And you have noticed you have not heard us speak about food service today. We will do that next week, but the good growth is in bakery, dairy, and infant, so hence, implicitly, I have commented on food service. So that's one part of that trend. The other part of that trend is how much is commodity going backwards. And that's difficult to say. Commodity is becoming a smaller and smaller and smaller part of the total all the time. Will we ever walk out of all commodity? Probably not. How much commodity will we keep long term? Difficult to say. What we do see very clearly today with a much better cost base is that some, shall we call it, low-end semi-speciality business or high-end commodity business, if you prefer, some of that was deeply unprofessional and deeply unprofitable with the previous cost base. With today's cost base, that business is adding to the earnings per share. So, as you notice, we are not answering the question. But we have a very, very strong focus on organic growth.
Okay. Yeah, I will stay there. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. When we're waiting for maybe a final question, I want to reiterate that I'm happy to see that you seem to share with us that how we account for the interest swaps is a very, very, very theoretical and conservative way of doing it. Again, we were a little bit taken by surprise having swaps to the extent we have today for the first time. Then when the things went the way they did, we were not prepared for full hedge accounting, which will be in the near future. I want to repeat the number. If we had what most large cap companies would have, hedge accounting on this, our earnings per share would have been 4.05 SEK per share. I want to reiterate that when we wait for maybe a final question.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. Our next question comes from the line of Peter Wallin. Please go ahead with your question announcing your company name.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Peter Wallin here from Handelsbanken in Stockholm. I have a few questions. I will start with more of a nitty-gritty one on technical products and feed. Given that you said that you see much lower profitability near term driven by very high raw material prices in parts of that operation. If you just look for Q3, if you just compare to the second quarter and the EBIT you earned in that quarter, how much of the EBIT drop between Q2 and Q3 could you refer to the unusually long maintenance stop, and how much is due to price pressure, i.e., how much of the EBIT level which we see now should we expect also in Q4 and Q1?
Thank you, Peter. Good question. The answer is quite complex. The maintenance stop influenced Q2 more than Q3. The lubricant business is developing nicely in the right direction. The feed business is developing nicely in the right direction. We have the P&L for the crusher, even if the crusher only has internal customers. We try to have a separate P&L on the crusher so we don't subsidize any business. The crusher, the crushing margins are a little bit under pressure, as we say here. You have the Tefac, where technical fatty acids, where there is a big change in Q3, and I think you had some of that in May and June. First 4 months of the year were really good, better than normal. Since May and June, we had an opposite evolution. Will it change quickly? No. Will it not change at all? Most likely it will change. We are mitigating. In this industry, you can sometimes mitigate, but it takes a little bit of time. Can it get worse? Yes, it can get worse, but hopefully, even if it gets worse, we can, with our mitigation, neutralize some of that. My answer is very unclear, but I believe you see very clearly that we speak about a very small part of the total profit.
Yes, sure. Thank you for that. More of a big picture question regarding, you've already commented that with the current available information about what seems to be a very poor macro environment, especially in Southern Europe, you still think that you can come out fairly well. If you look globally, what you base this stance on, is it the fact that if we go into a much more fierce environment, wouldn't price competition become much worse? Or are you then relying strongly on the fact that you have a very solid value offer to your clients so that you could compensate maybe lower EBIT per weight unit with higher volumes? Or is it basically that you would see stable earnings or EBIT per ton still in this environment?
You know, in Southern Sweden, we are famous for being extremely humble people. I will try to control my answer or our answer a little bit, but divide it in a few slices. I would say first bullet point, everything is subject for the world not going totally crazy, right? So everything is subject to things being not much worse than today. But in today's environment, or even slightly worse, we can see a few things. We do not have very much business at all in the, shall we say, Mediterranean countries. We have a few very important, very prestigious, large customers, particularly in Italy, that we are very proud of, but that's global companies having a small part of their business in the Mediterranean countries. And besides that, in terms of market share and business, we are very small in Southern Europe. That's one point. Another point is the food price inflation we saw in 2010 that no doubt had an effect on global consumption. And those of our packed goods customers who announce not only sales but also volume, you could see some negative price elasticity in Q3, Q4 2010 and maybe Q1 2011. Half of that inflation is now reversed. That should mean some cushion for us and our business and our customers' business. Next bullet point is our value propositions, health, which at least in the rich parts of the world will remain a very strong argument. We saw Denmark by October 1 introduce the famous tax on saturated fats. We know there are more countries examining this kind of tax. This increases the focus on health, and it also increases the economical value proposition we have when vegetable oils and fats can replace animal fats, and hence not only give you better health, but also a more cost-efficient solution. If we take all these together, and then what we do ourselves in AAK Acceleration, we remain prudently optimistic.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And then I just have a small follow-up also on the previous discussion about which geographies you saw were performing the best in terms of volumes in CCF, and it seems like, I mean, relatively speaking, you saw still that Eastern and Central Europe being your, I mean, relatively, again, speaking, weakest areas. I mean, is this a trend that you've seen become even more evident in the third quarter compared to the first half of this year, or is this pretty much the same pattern you've seen previously?
Pretty much the same, and I would describe it as an opportunity for the future, because we are doing these kind of numbers without being back to historical levels in Central and Eastern. Many very good questions, and we are happy to continue five more minutes, but to be a little bit disciplined also, I believe it's 2 o'clock now. Shall we take a final question?
We appear to have no further questions at this time.
Okay, no more questions. We thank you, everybody, for attending. We thank you for your interest. We thank you for your support, and looking forward to seeing all of you, no excuses accepted, in Stockholm Tuesday next week or Copenhagen Thursday next week. Be very, very welcome. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.